Welcome to Zeke Talk. My name is Jim Tudor. I am the founder of ZekeFilm.org and the host of this show, Zeke Talk, along with a co-host, sometimes Michael Anderson, who's not with us today. Who is with us today is a very special guest, Nico B. Nico is a filmmaker and the founder and head of the label, video label Cult Epics. Nico, welcome.
Hi, nice to hear you, Jim. How's it going?
Yeah, it's going very well. Now, Cult Epics is celebrating its 25th year, isn't it? Am I correct on that?
Well, it's actually been kind of longer because the whole thing started, you know, with the book we're going to talk about. Is like a year ago, I did some kind of Indiegogo campaign to raise the money for the 25th anniversary release of a book. And now we're actually a year later already. We started in 1991 in Amsterdam, the Netherlands, as a video label out of necessity. I was running a cult video take at the time, which was pretty famous and successful. And pretty soon people were asking me for all kinds of movies which weren't at the time on VHS, like Henry Porter of a Serial Killer, Betty Page, Cannibal Holocaust. And these were kind of our first releases we did in the Benelux.
So you founded a video label, Cult Epics, in order to make these films available via...
Exactly.
VHS tapes and DVDs and now Blu-rays.
That was the day of VHS. And sell-through, actually, at that time when we started, a couple of years before, we had a mail order. Sell-through didn't exist yet. People could buy an old rental copy in a rental store, but, you know, that's about it. Or you can see a movie in the art house cinema at midnight, or you can watch, if you're lucky, on television. In Holland, there were only two channels. You could watch a movie if you were lucky if it would appear. But a lot of movies which were controversial and people were interested in, you'd literally had a hard time finding or seeing, and you know, and that's kind of where the label came out from.
So some of these films and filmmakers which you deal with, you acquire the rights to these films and then you make them available. Am I right on that?
Yes, that's right. I don't work like companies in the U.S., like Something Weird and now Vinegar Syndrome, that basically release mostly public domain films and they find some old prints. With me, it's completely the opposite. I basically try to find the producer or sometimes the director has the rights of the film, make a deal, and then basically see what materials are available or can be produced. And that sometimes could take up to 15 to 20 years of some films I've been going after forever.
My gosh. Okay. So do you consider it a part of your job to kind of foster greater awareness of these films, or are you just basically playing to the already established niche audience for them?
No, I most time create this audience for the film because a lot of the films people never heard of. I mean, 2 years ago, nobody heard of Angst. I mean, a few insiders. And now it played in about 60 theaters up till now, theatrically, and it's on Blu-ray DVD. It was Gaspar Noé's, one of his favorite films, and definitely a film that inspired most of his films, if you look at Angst. And the same thing, you know, with other films I discover and I know about because of, you know, my business in the past of running a video store and knowing what people were looking for and personally had sometimes a rare copies of, but you couldn't even find a subtitle version or whatever. And so I knew, you know, people been asking me for these films for a long time. And sometimes it takes a long time to actually find out, like with Angst, which is kind of like the predecessor of Henry Porter of Serial Killer, which I also released in Europe. That film, you know, was so obscure. And only 5 years ago, I found out who had the rights. And I made a deal directly with a director who never made a film again. He made one masterpiece, and that was it. He got bankrupt, and disappeared, and he also didn't want anybody to see the film because he thought it was too much. And he actually released it in Germany at one point, and then it was cut, and in France it was cut, and I told him to restore the scenes he actually darkened and kind of took out of the film for European countries.
And that's a film called Angst, and that's just one example?
That's one example. I also worked for years to get the rights for Inner Glass Gates, which was released, I think, in the day on VHS in the U.S. By a small company in Miami. And I was a big fan of Agustí Filarango's film, and it took me about 15 years to clear the rights. And then it took actually another 10 years to get an HD master, because the film was so controversial that the Spanish government held the negative, and they only let it go one time for a prestigious film festival later on. And at that time, I was able to make a transfer in HD and release on Blu-ray. And actually, I'm leaving this weekend to Madrid to interview Agustí Filarango for his second film, which is called Moonchild, which was based on Aleister Crowley's book, Moonchild, and which has a score of Dead Can Dance and actually stars Lisa Gerrard of Dead Can Dance, which was unreleased. And for that, I'm doing a new interview with Agustí next week in Madrid. And that film also took me about 15, 20 years to clear the rights, figure it out, and, you know, obtain an HD transfer, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, that's got to feel great then to finally be, you know, seeing the light at the end of that tunnel.
Well, it's very satisfying when it gets released, definitely.
Yes. Absolutely. So you've got these films. I should mention there. You have through your brand Cult Epics put out films from all over the world, many different directors, many different filmmakers, and these are some are very low end production value types of films, and others are. More high end. What is it that what is the qualifier? What is it that you look for in a movie when you decide that it suits your brand?
Right, I can tell you that. I mean, you're right. You know, some of the films are very underground films. Like the films I direct are completely underground. I'm not interested in making money of the films I make. I'm basically more an experimental filmmaker in one way. And then other films are cinematic masterpieces, you know, like Angst and like In the Glass Cage and like Viva la Muerte and the films of Radley Metzger, for instance, which I newly did HD transfers for, because they're amazing. And what qualifies all the films, whether it's a horror or art house or erotic, is that there's an artistic quality to them. I mean, there is an artistic quality to all the films I release. Most companies, they drive on exploitation. Well, I actually never thought of my films as exploitation. Whether it's lots of sex in it or nudity, it doesn't really matter. What I look for is an artistic quality in the film. Many films pass by me, like Guinea Pig, like, you know, other controversial films, because that's another thing. What I'm looking for is just some kind of controversy which lingers in mind and make people think about films after they've seen it maybe once. And then somehow, you know, that kind of comes back always to people. Like when I saw Clockwork Orange for the first time, and then again, you know, later on, when it came out in video and it was so forbidden in the UK, it kind of, you know, it's kind of like something you can't see, you kind of want to see, or something you can't, you know, have, you kind of want it, you know.
Sure.
And so I've been always after these kind of films.
Yeah, sometimes we have to challenge ourselves or dare ourselves to watch something like Cannibal Holocaust.
Exactly.
Wonder, you know, satisfy a curiosity for why this particular film, like Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer, was infamous in its day and still is. And why is that? Or something like Abel Ferrara's Driller Killer, which people still talk about. And you dealt with that movie as well. And then, you mentioned exploitation. Now, I should back up here. I reviewed your book. The book is 25 years of cult epics, The Comprehensive Guide to Cult Cinema. This is a beautiful book. This book is...
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's tremendous. And I love the way you have it laid out. It's different sections on different filmmakers and different types of films that people would be interested in. Photos in, or it's full color. I should mention they're very, very graphic. This is an adults-only affair, of course, as are most of the movies we're talking about. But it is such a beautiful book. I agreed to review this for the site Screen Anarchy, and I came into this thinking, you know, they said, well, here's a book. It's called Pulp Epics. Who wants to review it? And I said, well, it sounds interesting. I'd like to, you know, write about cult movies. And I'm thinking maybe we're going to be talking about David Cronenberg or El Topo or that kind of thing. Here I get this book. This is a deep dive. It's a fantastic deep dive into lots of films and filmmakers that a lot of folks may not have ever heard of, or maybe we heard of in passing. A lot of names like, Tito Brass and Radley Metzger come up. And in my review, I did use the term exploitation, which you politely took some issue with. And again, I'll just say that, you know, when I wrote that in the review, it wasn't as a way of being condemning or dismissive, but simply just descriptive. And I thought more about it in terms of, you know, cinema. A friend of mine once told me all film is exploitation in a way. So I guess that's one way of looking at it. But in any case, these are films that you find artistically viable and worthy of your attention.
Exactly. Well, you know, to me, I must say, since I live in America for the last 20 years, you know, every time I show a certain movie, the first thing people think is smut. They always use the word smut, whereby in Europe, they call it art. So
yeah,
I think it's very funny. And, you know, there's this famous quote of Tinto Brass. He says, you know, some people think the films are released are pornography, but Tinto said it very clearly. He says, pornography is there to give you an erection. And erotica is there to give you emotions. And I think that's the big difference. These films, if you watch them, you kind of get, you know, it literally goes inside your head for the next days to come. And it's not something you easily forget, whether it's erotic or art house or horror films are released. And I think that's the whole, I think behind it is kind of like what interests me on these kind of films.
Yeah. Again, the book is the book out now? It was early.
Yeah,
February,
the book actually came out today officially. I think nobody noticed that it came out today because it was already offered through Indiegogo previously. But that's done now, and now it's officially out, and it's actually available worldwide. I mean, we had a distributor who also, you know, got the book in UK, Amazon, and Canada, Amazon, wherever it's sold. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very happy about that, actually.
Yeah, this book is like 255 pages or so. It's silver-edged pages on the edition I have here, anyhow.
Right, well, you're lucky. The first 500 were made like that for Indiegogo supporters. I think we have about 100 left on our website like that, but that's about it, and then they're gone. And they also came with, I don't know if you got that, it was like a DVD trailer reel of all the clips and trailers existing of these films.
I did get that. Now, I guess that my understanding is the silver edge pages of the DVD here of film trailers is not something that everybody will be getting. It was, a nice bonus.
Yeah, you can only get it on the website, yeah.
This DVD had like 3 hours of trailers.
Exactly.
Which I waded through a lot of them. Some pretty interesting stuff.
We actually cut 1 hour out because if I would have put all the clips and trailers on there, it would have been too long to order the DVD. So we cut about an hour of clips out of all the other releases which are not on the DVD even.
Now, is the book everything that you guys have ever put out?
It's kind of, kind of, like, because it also includes some VHS tapes when we started Laserdisc. even it shows a pictorial of all the VHS releases we had in Europe and stuff like that, and some soundtrack CDs. Up to this date, it's conclusive.
One thing that I really love about the book, as a film critic, of course, I love to see other film critics represented so well here in the book. The write-ups on each movie are the actual reviews, in many cases, that ran on various websites by different film critics, many of which people are familiar with, like Nathaniel Thompson, who is now the go-to guy for Tino Lorber and their audio commentary tracks and whatnot. You've got some terrific writing in here. That's a decision that we just don't see things done that way very often. What led you to consider that?
Well, there's been writers which I admired, and I liked their reviews quite often, and I've been in contact with them, obviously, because they request screeners of our films. Nathaniel, funny enough, I ran into actually at the book signing this weekend in L.A., and, we start talking about Natalie Metzger, and, I hope one project I would like to work on is a book on Natalie Metzger's films, and he would be the perfect writer for that, actually, and it would be a visually stimulating book, obviously, with all the great images of his films, So that, along with a couple of other Blu-rays, I'm planning on Radley as soon as things are sorted out with the estate. Radley died a year ago. I think it was it March 1st, 2017, I believe, maybe the day before. That was a sad passing. But I would still, like to create awareness and promote his work in the future to come.
One thing I want to ask you about, we're down to the last few minutes here, Betty Page. Betty Page has a pretty clearly a special place with you and Cult Epics. You guys have released a lot of her very early SAG films and whatnot, and it looks like there's even photos of a handwritten introduction that she wrote up. Did you know her?
Yeah, I knew her personally. I mean, I basically was involved with her since 1991 when I did the first release of Cult Epics. It was The Exotic Dance of Betty Page. It was completely blurry images from Super 8 films. I bought the rights from Paula Klaw at the time. And, it was a huge hit. I was distributed at the time through PolyGram in Holland. And for some reason, we sold like 5,000 VHS tapes. You couldn't do that these days. Of these blurry videos, because people were so intrigued by her and interested, and so was I. And I got in contact with her because I wanted to, I was doing all this promotion. I used to run art shows with photography on her, et cetera, et cetera. And so I said, for every video we sell, we'll give Betty Page $1. So, every year I had checks for her, and I got in contact with her, and then, we were sending her checks, et cetera, et cetera. And she was very happy. This was before anybody in America did anything, actually. And I was living in Europe at the time. And then later on, she sent me this. I asked her if she could do some introductions for the DVD. So Betty Page, Pin of Queen, and Betty Page, Bondage Queen. And she sent me these letters. She said she couldn't do it by audio. I think she didn't want to appear. And so she sent me these introductions by letter, and that's what is also in the book. And later on, I made a movie about her bondage career, because that was pretty much forgotten and destroyed by the government at the time, because these films were too controversial in the 50s. And it's been a long history. A lot of things around her, and recently I also worked with Bunny Yeager, who was the photographer of Betty Page, and that was my first documentary, 100 Girls of Bunny Yeager, and she also passed away. I shot the last movies of her shooting Claire Sinclair, the Playmate of the Year, 5 years ago or so. And so I've been in contact with her daughter, and we're actually working on a book soon, also through Cult Epics, of very rare photos Bunny shot of Betty Page, which actually were never published before.
Yeah, he's just such an iconic figure and such a an interesting figure,
beauty
too. Yeah. Well, let's talk real quick here about your own filmmaking before we have to go. But I do want to know about your movies. What are they called? And where can people see them?
Well, they're on Blu-ray and DVD, and you know, they're mostly underground, controversial kind of films, I guess. One is called Pig, which was with Ross Williams of Christian Death, who was a dear friend of mine. But two weeks after I finished the editing, I showed it to him. He hanged himself, so it was a pretty dark film. And I actually am working currently on a release for the 20th anniversary of his passing 20 years ago, April 1st, 1998. And we're putting out the music of some recordings I did of him at the time through our Cult Epics website. It will be available now for pre-order. And then I did another movie, as I said, Betty Page, Dark Angel. And then I made another movie called Sin, which was a work on its own. But I'm, you know, like I said, I'm not making films really to become a successful director. I'm more experimental or artistic films. It's something I just need to do as an outlet of my own ideas.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think between running a video label, a successful video label that like Cult Epics, where on earth would somebody find the time to also make movies, which is an
right. Well, I used to.
Yeah.
I used to run three video stores, a video label, went on tour with the singer every year, had two kids, and I still do everything at the same time. And that's why I went into book publishing, because I think there's so many books I want to do now of things that touched only on the film or video side of it. And so that's going to be, and also some music, something we will be selling directly also through our website. We'll do some special limited editions, clip cases, etc. In the future, through cultepics.com.
Yeah, like you say, everything's available at cultepics.com, including the book. The book is Cult Epics, A Comprehensive Guide to Cult Cinema, edited by Nico B. And Nico, it's been fantastic having you here on the show to tell us about your company and your history at these very, very unique films, which you have helped put in the hands of fans.
Exactly. Well, thank you, Jim, for having me.
Yes, absolutely. And good luck with your future endeavors.
All right. Take care.